Canto 10, Chapter 43, Part 10, Text 17, continued. So his heart is filled of darkness, and that is why he is seeing that Krishna has no form. Because his heart is full of darkness, he cannot see anything, and he believes that Lord has no form. Otherwise, the Lord actually has a form. His form is transcendental. And since time immemorial, the topics about God, different people have their own different views. They like to speculate. Some people say that God used to be there, but now he's no more. Just like we all get old and die, so maybe he's already gotten old and gone. They believe in God, but they think maybe he's not there anymore. If he's there, perhaps he's in some hospital or something. Or he's an old man with a beard. There's one place they have built a temple, and in that place they have shown that the Lord, the deity of the Lord, has white beard. That he's old. This is how foolish people think. They don't even know. Whatever their consciousness is, according to three modes of material nature, whatever is their understanding, according to that, they think that God must be. And they even write books on it. And the other people, they give them Nobel Prizes, that he is a very learned person. So even if, suppose they write about mundane things and they get Nobel Prize, not such a big deal. But if they don't know anything about God and they write books about God and they get Nobel Prize. In our village we call them Lal Bhujakkar. Lal Bhujakkar. In a village, there used to be a man. He used to be called Lal Bhujakkar. His name was Lal. Lal as in red. Just Lal his name was. And Bhujakkar means one who can understand everything. Very intelligent person. So in that village, when anybody had any problems, they would run to Lal Bhujakkar. He was considered the jewel amongst all the very learned persons. This is the village language. So people of the village, if they had any problem, whatever he would say, they would consider that as a solution and they will think, okay. So in that village, one deer used to live. And apart from the deer, people of that village had not seen any big animals like camels and elephants and rhinoceros. They had never seen anything like that. So they had only seen, you know, the local cows and dogs and cats and deer. So what happened one day? At night, in that village, some elephant crossed their village. They used to have, just dirt roads. So at night, some elephant, he crossed through the village. Maybe. So in the dirt road, it was his footprints. So his footprints were left on the dirt floor. And in the morning, the village people, they woke up and they looked at those footprints and they were wondering what. They were talking amongst each other. What is this animal? Whose footprints are these? They had never seen an elephant. They could not imagine. So they all had a meeting. What is this? What is this? And they all went to this person. They decided to solve their problem. They went to Lal Bujakkar. They called him. So Lal Bujakkar used his brain. He suddenly said, oh yes, I know. Means Lal Bujakkar understood and nobody has understood. This is the deer. He has tied on his 4 feet there's a hand grinder. It's two big huge rocks that are round in shape, one on top of the other, and there's a handle, and you move the top one on top of the bottom flat rock. They're both like a slices of a cylinder. They're like, you know, round rock, and it was flat on top and bottom, cylindrical. So, you know, maybe about 6 inches high. So he's saying, yes, I understood. This was the deer. He has tied that chakki, the grinding stone, on each of his 4 feet, and he was walking through here last night. And everybody said, oh, wow, wow, wow. This, what an intelligent person. Only he could understand. He is so smart. So this was the deer last night. This is how we have these footprints. Chakki in India, they hand grind the grains. So he understood. And everybody in the village people, they said, oh, thank you very much. We were in so much trouble, we couldn't figure out, but you are so intelligent. You figured it out. So those in that village, the speaker and the hearer, they were both foolish persons. They were both, their heads were full of gobar, cow dung. This is the situation today. This is what's happening today in the world. The people who are talking about God and hearing about God, they're both gober-headed, foolish people. In front, in Kamsa, King Kamsa's sacrificial arena, is the Supreme Lord standing. But whatever their consciousness is, they're seeing the Lord. Even though he's standing right there in front of them, they're only able to see according to their consciousness. This is even when the Lord is personally present. And actually he wasn't. Exactly. This is Sukadev Goswami is explaining how Krishna is there. Exactly as he's seeing, this is how Krishna is present on that arena. He's got this elephant tusk on his shoulder, standing with his brother, and his clothes are stained with elephant blood and blood dripping from the tusk of the elephant, and they're looking very beautiful with small drops of perspiration that looks like little pearls on their face. Sukadev Goswami is seeing, taking darshan of the Lord's, and then he's explaining. But others, they're not able to see the Lord as he is. They're only, each one is seeing, somebody is seeing as him as the thunderbolt, the mountain, and somebody is seeing him as death personified, somebody is seeing him as universal form, and somebody is seeing him as the Cupid in person, and somebody is seeing him as a little baby. So this is all according to the consciousness people see God. According to their understanding. But Lord is actually that one form. So from hearing all this, we should understand that we should make our heart in such a way that we can capture the Lord. This is the understanding we all have to take from this pastime. That we have to make our hearts free from this darkness, and we have to make our heart in such a way that we can perceive the Lord as He is. As Shukadeva Goswami is seeing Him in person as He is, that we can see the Lord as He is. The Lord's form is everywhere. If the screen of our heart is not working properly, we cannot see the picture. Just like suppose somebody has a television set and suddenly something happens to, as long as the receiver is working properly, then you can get a nice picture. Even though there is the form transmitted, we cannot catch it. If you put so many televisions in your house, you will see the same forms of what? What forms will you see on all the TV? You will see the same form that is transmitted from that certain channel, from the transmitter. And if your television is working, so it is transmitted from somewhere, but it is there. But without the television, you cannot see. Some people's TVs are working, then their screens are not working. They have so many material desires and etc., and they cannot see the Lord. There was one time one man was trying to get the picture on his television, and for 1 hour he was being really bothered trying to get the picture clear, and it was just shimmering and dots everywhere. And that actual form that should be shown clearly on the television, he could not get. So in this way, so many people's heart is simply like all the dots appearing on the television when the receiver is not working properly. The Lord is impersonal. Your TV, your television itself is not working, and then you say the Lord is nirakar, impersonal. So whatever kind of television all of those people in the arena had, that kind of picture they were seeing on the screen of their television. Some were seeing very fearful pictures, some were seeing very beautiful pictures, some were seeing a baby's picture in this way. To understand the Lord, to see the Lord, we have to prepare ourselves. From now, we have to do bhakti yog, to make ourselves deserving of this. Just like the radio catches the sound waves, and the television catches the form pictures, and in our hearts can also capture the form of the Lord. Lord is actually very easy to attain. It is the difficulty of our heart. Text 18. When Kans saw Kuvalyapid, when he saw the elephant's tusk on their shoulders, Kamsa understood that Kuvalyapid was dead. He understood. He immediately got off his singhasan and he walked down from his big singhasan, and some of his ministers also got up from their seats and they walked down the steps, and they wanted to go, and Kamsa wanted to see what actually Kuvalyapit was dead, because he saw his tusks on these two boys' shoulders with blood dripping. He was in great anxiety. Then he could understand these two brothers are invincible. And he was overwhelmed. This is Sukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, O King, when Kamsa saw in this way, he was overwhelmed with anxiety. And then everybody gathered around, because the king and ministers were there to look, and then many people came off their seats and they were all asking, who killed, what happened, and then somebody says, these two boys they killed, and Nanda Maharaj's two sons, they killed Kuvalyapid, not with any weapons or with a sword or rifle, with their hands. Everybody, the whole arena, people were everywhere, and when everybody came back to their seat, they were only talking about this boy. Oh, these two boys are so wonderful. They killed this Kuvalyapid. They couldn't believe. They were in ecstasy. They were actually thinking, maybe these two boys are actually going to be able to kill Kamsa, and they were hoping that they will, because they saw that these two boys had just killed Kuvalyapid. And they were talking like this his whole pastime, that yes, I saw this this boy had tripped, an elephant was going to jump on him, but he jumped off and he was under his body, and then the elephant tried to get him with his trunk, and then this boy was running around, and then this boy, they were talking, the whole story was going around like wildfire amongst the people sitting there, and they were saying that, and then this boy, he was pulling his tail backwards, and the elephant was going crazy, and this what happened, and that happened, and in the end, and this boy pulled out his tusk, and then they just banged it, and the chariot and the elephant driver, he was killed. And bus, everybody was simply talking about Kuvalyapid pastime. And they had, some of them had directly seen. Such a beauty. How nicely those people must have been talking about Krishna. In that town of Mathura, everybody was only talking about Krishna Katha. They were talking amongst themselves. Since Krishna arrived the day before in Mathura, everybody was talking about all the different things Krishna and Balaram, these two boys, did. And this morning, how they did, they were all in their homes, on the street, in the stores, walking, talking, sleeping, eating. They were all just discussing these things that Krishna and Balaram did. This is such a wonderful way of talking Krishna Katha, discussing Krishna. This is very Krishna conscious. So now, this the king was in more and more anxiety because at every place Krishna had proved to be victorious. Every place that Kamsa had planned to kill him, he killed the washerman, he killed his soldiers and his guards, and he killed the Kuvalyapit. Now Krishna and Balaram are present here on the, in the arena. Now his anxiety just increased. And those two brothers, when they reached, when they entered the arena, they did not just go and sit down on some seat. They instead, he started to roam around the whole of arena. Actually, he wanted to give his darshan to all the Mathura Vasis that were so eager to see Krishna. So he, instead of just going quietly and sitting down in the front on a chair, he wanted to fulfill the desire of all the devotees that were present there. So he started walking around and seeing everything and everyone. Whatever rasa all those people had, he was reciprocating with them. This is a good fortune. Text 19. Both brothers, all their ornaments were arrayed this way and that way, and their garlands and their garments were all disarrayed, but they looked just like a pair of very excellently costumed actors. The two mighty armed lords, they were shining very splendidly in the arena, and they were overpowering the minds of all the onlookers with their effulgences. Their ornaments and clothes, etc., looked amazing. Just like when there is in a drama, there's costumed actors. These two brothers, they looked like excellent actors. They were attracting the minds of everybody. Text 20.
नगर और राष्ट्र का नगर मतलब नगर के लोग मथुरा के लोग आए थे
व्हाट ऑल द पीपल ऑफ मथुरा
ये सब सिर्फ भगवान को देखकर
दे
हर्ष देव देव कल्पित
दे वर सीइंग कृष्णा एंड बलराम एंड देयर आईज वर फुल ऑफ जॉय. And they started to drink the nectar of Krishna and Balaram's faces from their eyes. With eyes you see, but with their eyes they were drinking. They were drinking what? They started to drink the beauty of Krishna's face. Actually, the Lord's, all his limbs and the whole body is beautiful. Bilva Mangal Thakur says, Madhuram, Madhuram, his Vapuras Vibhor. Vadanam Madhuram. His face is very madhur. His whole body is Madhuram Madhuram. And in that his lips, the sweet smile on his lips is most madhur. In this way, the people who actually saw Krishna's beautiful face with their eyes in that arena, they must have, for thousands and thousands of births, they must have done many, many, many devotional activities, many, many, many pious activities. So in this life, they got to see Lord Krishna personally, and they got to drink the nectar of his beauty through their eyes. Only then they could have seen Krishna from such close-up. Otherwise they could not have seen Krishna just like that by any accident. And they were seeing, when Sukadev Goswami says that they were drinking the nectar of his beauty from their eyes, that means they were so attracted, to Krishna, that they were looking at him with so much love that they could not take their eyes off him. Instead of saying darshan, why is Sukadev Goswami using the word pan? Pan means to drink or to take. Pan, like to enjoy drinking or eating. So why is Sukadev Goswami here? He's saying that there were all these Mathura Vasis that were sitting there, why they were drinking the nectar with their eyes. Because to say that they were seeing is not the right word. They were seeing him with so much attention and love that even their eyes were not blinking, and therefore Lord Sukadev Goswami says that they were drinking Krishna's beauty through their eyes. After drinking the nectar from of Krishna's beauty through their eyes, and their faces were blossomed, what did they do? They were talking to one another about Krishna. This is the result of seeing Krishna, that you talk Krishna Katha. This is what we have to do. Take darshan of the Lord and then talk about him. And even after describing this in verse 20, Sukadev Goswami is not satisfied of describing the scenery, the scene of this Krishna's beauty in the sacrificial arena. He's not satisfied by just saying that one verse. Now again in text 21 and 22, It looked as if everyone sitting in that arena, all the people that were sitting there, they were just drinking Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, and they were licking them with their tongues. Sukadeva Goswami is trying to describe what he is seeing himself. He's trying to describe the vision he is having of, he is seeing the pastime himself, and he's trying to describe. He's not able to be satisfied himself by this description. So again he's saying in this verse that the people seem to be drinking Krishna and Balaram with their eyes. Chakshur bhyam pibanta iva lihanta jivya. With the jiva means tongues. With their tongues, it seemed like they wanted to just lick Krishna's lotus feet or his hand or his face. Why not? Why not? Because Lord is Sachidananda Ghan. He is full of Sachidananda, and the living entity is his part and parcel. We have the living entities have eternal relationships with the Lord. So now their senses of these people did not seem to be, they were not able to be satisfied. And it looked as if everyone's nostrils was trying to smell Lord Krishna's fragrant body. And it looked, and they were looking, in the hundreds and thousands of people were sitting, and it looked that they were trying to, with their arms looked as if from there they were trying to embrace them, Krishna and Balaram. With the eyes, it looked like the eyes they were drinking, with their tongues they were licking, and with their nostrils they were smelling, and with their arms they were trying to embrace. This is what our eyes are meant for. And in this world we use our eyes for seeing so many things we should not be seeing. Some people every day at least 2-3 hours their eyes are engaged in seeing this television. We should use our eyes to see the Lord. We should force ourselves to. Our minds will not want to look at the Lord. We should force ourselves to look at the deity of the Lord, pictures of the Lord. We should still try. This is the fruits of eyes. Is to see Krishna. And with our arms we have embraced so many people, we've touched so many things. We should try to embrace the forms of the Lord, the deity forms of the Lord. We should try to embrace them with our arms. Just like these people, they were all hundreds and thousands of people, they were all sitting around and they were seeing one Krishna. And they all could, none of them were able to come forward and embrace him, but wherever they were sitting, from there they were embracing the Lord. The pujaris are very fortunate. They actually get to touch the Lord when they dress him. They put his ankle bells on. And then one day comes, the day comes when they actually get to touch the Lord. Sakshad, they actually get to see Krishna in person after worshipping the deities, looking at the deities in this way. One day will come that they will get to see the Lord face to face in this way, and they will get to touch him and embrace him. But those who have already accepted that Lord is Nirakar, impersonalist, there is no future for them. There is not even a question. So this is that four senses are mentioned here: eyes, tongue, nostrils and arms. But we should understand that it's not just these four senses. We should understand, Sukadev Goswami mentioned these four things, but it means that actually all their senses, all the whole body there is attracted to the Supreme Lord. Everyone at that time was totally attentive to all their senses, and their limbs were totally attentive towards Krishna. They had absolutely no other thought even crossing their minds at that time. Only they were fixed upon Krishna and Balaram. Text 22. And to get with one another. Now, Uchu means they were talking. Yatha Shrutam, whatever they had heard, now they're seeing. Sukadev Goswami says here, Yatha Drishtam, Yatha Shrutam. How they saw, they were speaking. And some, exactly how they had heard, they're seeing. So amongst one another, they started talking of this Krishna Katha. So why did they start to talk to one another about Krishna's beauty, character, charm, bravery? The members of the audience, they were describing these features to one another according to what they had seen and heard. So today they were talking, yes, this is exactly how I had heard that he was like. This is exactly how I had seen. So they were talking amongst themselves. The day before they had heard, not everybody had seen Krishna perform those 3-4 pastimes. Some people were far away. And today, although there were hundreds and thousands of people yesterday, they were crowding around Krishna and Balaram, but they did not see everything with their own eyes. Some people were in the back, so they had heard from the other people that this is what Krishna did, this is what Krishna did. So the day before they had heard the latest news, and some people were not there present, but they had all heard the Krishna Balaram's adventures in the city, how the lords had broken the sacrificial bow, how they had defeated the police and the guards, how he had killed the washerman, and how he was reciprocating, how he straightened Kubja's back, and everything that others had seen, and they had told other people that hadn't seen. So now the people were very excited, and now all of them had come to the arena, and they were sitting around, and now their greatest expectations were confirmed. Whatever they had heard, they were expecting to see something like that, and now their expectations were confirmed, because Krishna is the embodiment of all beauty, fame, opulence, and those people, all of them who had assembled in the wrestling arena, they became totally satisfied and by glorifying to one another what they had heard of him and now what they were seeing. Therefore, a learned person should what he should do every day is that he should every day look at the Lord. By looking at the Lord, he will develop love for Him. By looking at the Lord every day, his mind will be attracted towards the Lord. And actually, to hear about the Lord is the first thing to do, is to hear. But after hearing, when we go and see the Lord, then by seeing, we develop more love. There is one comment, Harishwari Maharaj, in Bhakti Rasame, he says, Although Lord Krishna's fame is spread all over the universe, and only by hearing his fame, only by hearing about Krishna, the general population, their sinful reactions are destroyed. But still, his special remembrance comes by Tanmurti Sanmana, by seeing his murti form, his deity form, his personal form. When we see him, samdarsana, when we actually see the deity of the Lord from his toenail up to his head, then we develop a special kind of feeling for him. The proof of this is here in Mathura. These people before, they had heard about him, the day before even. And now they're seeing. And before they had just heard about him, and now when they're seeing, here Sukadeva Goswami cannot become satisfied by explaining this point himself, that now that they're finally seeing the Lord, how they're developing so much love for him that they're sitting in their seats and drinking him through their eyes and smelling them with their nostrils, embracing them with their arms wherever they are seated. How by seeing, before they had heard, now by seeing how their love had emerged. These Mathura Vasis had heard about Krishna well before, but only after they saw the Lord, they had actually developed so much love for Krishna Himself. Therefore, the learned persons, this is a lesson to be learned, that the learned persons should meditate day and night upon the deity form of the Lord. Day and night they should take darshan. This is the reason why our acharyas they're always building temples everywhere, and they have installed the deities. We should leave the comforts of our home and attachments of our home. We should come to the temple to see the Lord. As well as we should keep the Lord in our house also, we should keep the deity of the Lord in our house also. So just try to calculate how much of our time we use to see the Lord. Maybe not even 1%. Every day, so many hours we go to work, we drive, we do so many other things. And how much time of the 24 hours do we actually use to see the Lord? Perhaps not even 1%. In this country, at least 2-3 hours some people spend in the car or the bus. But in front of the Lord, how long we stand in front of the Lord? All this will be calculated after we leave our body. How much time we spent for what? How many minutes he was standing in front of the Lord, and how many minutes he was standing here and there? Of course, we should see also the Lord while we are not in the temple and we are hearing about the Lord and meditating about the Lord. But there is some special attraction when you see the deity of the Lord, and we should start seeing from the lotus feet of the Lord, and we should work upwards to his lotus face. We should see his flute, etc., and see his lotus feet and face, and again down towards the lotus feet. The mind may go here and there. This is the nature of mind. While you're looking at the deities, mind may go here and there, but don't worry. You keep looking at the deity and trying to take darshan, and by practicing slowly and practicing in this way, one day the mind will be able to stay fixed at the deity's form. Day and night one should see the Lord. This is what Harisori Prabhu is saying in his commentary. We have received this human body, and this human body, it should be utilized for seeing the Lord day and night. Always we should either see the deity or meditate or hear about the Lord. His naam Sankirtan, the association of those who love him, of devotees. In this way, if we live our life, definitely we will increase our love for Krishna. There are many ways to increase our love for Krishna, but for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are 5 main ones. One is Mathura Vas, living in Mathura. Second, Naam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name. The third is the association of Vaishnavas. Those who are still living. Fourth is to hear and relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just simply hearing. Mahaprabhu says Bhagavat Artha Swad means to taste the arth of Bhagavat, means the meaning of the Bhagavatam. This is very important. Not just hearing the shlokas. Bhagavat Arth Aswad. Aswad means to taste. And to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with the purports. And fifth is Shri Vigraha Seva, to serve the deity of the Lord. These are the 5 things Lord Chaitanya has given us. 5 main things to increase our love for the Lord. Mahaprabhu has given 64 kinds of bhakti, but out of those 64, these 5 are the main ones. And even with these five, if somebody just does one, even with just one, he can become a perfect Krishna conscious, perfect lover of Krishna. If he does all five, there is no doubt. Mahaprabhu says, out of these five, only one, even if one follows, and even that very little, he can still become Krishna conscious. And if somebody does faithfully all five, we cannot say anything doubtful about his Krishna prem. So the things that we're going to hear in the next few texts as to how the Mathura Vasis are talking amongst themselves about Krishna, all this has become only after seeing Krishna. Before this, they were not so much into. So apart from hearing about the Lord, one should keep seeing the deity form of the Lord. In the temple and in our house, every home you should have pictures of Krishna. Wherever you look, there should be pictures of Krishna. This is called Shyam Mayi. Shyam Mayi means wherever your eyes are looking, there is Shyam. Shyam Mayi. Shyam Mayi home. Shyam Mayi walls. Gopis, they talked to, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, the gopis speaking to Uddhava in this way. They said to Uddhava, there is no place for yoga here. In every our every Rome means that in every pore of our bodies there is Shyam. There is no place for yoga. So we have to keep Krishna in our hearts, and amongst these people in the arena, what are they speaking? Please hear. Text 23. They're talking amongst themselves. They're saying, Do you know who these two boys are? They're certainly themselves Narayan. These two boys, they must be expansions of Narayan. And they have descended in this world in the home of Vasudev. They don't know that Krishna himself is the original Narayan. They're thinking that these two boys must be expansions of Narayan. They could not imagine that these two boys actually are the Supreme Personality, original Krishna. In other words, they were saying, these two are certainly not any humans or even demigods. Their effulgence, their beauty, their strength, etc. They could understand that he must be he's so powerful, he must be the Supreme. He Here everybody is accepting that he must be supreme. But in Maharaj Yudhishthira's Rajasuya sacrifice, when some people chose Krishna to be worshipped, everybody accepted, yes, he is the most qualified. But Shishupal, he did not agree. He was very envious of Krishna and he immediately stood up and he started saying ill words to Krishna. In Mahabharata, this katha comes. Everybody was worshipping the Lord and Shishupal could not tolerate. He stood up and started swearing at the Lord. He stood up and started saying, certainly time is very powerful. Today time has come to such that these great scholars and these great sages and these greatly intelligent persons, their intelligence has certainly been spoiled. This is the influence of time. Their intelligence is so spoiled that they're choosing Krishna to be worshipable.